The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place with the great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. And then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what the ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. And woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. I love Pastor Alexis' children's messages. I haven't been able to worship with you at all for the last few years because I served a five-year interim ministry. But don't panic. The reason they weren't able to call a pastor for all those years was that they could only afford a half-time pastor. That's not going to happen here. But it's a joy to be able to hear Pastor Alexis' sermons, her sermon and her children's message. And last week, I wanted to answer who my favorite superpower person is. It's Wonder Woman. Of course, it's Wonder Woman. And her children's message fits right in with the gospel today because as you were helping to make sandwiches for the lunch bunch, you were helping to feed those who are hungry, and Jesus talked about that in the gospel today. So, every day on Facebook, and I do spend a little time on Facebook, there is always a beautiful, beautiful picture of tulips or some kind of spring flowers, flowing water, green grass, green trees. And underneath the picture, it tells you how many days until spring. It's a joy to take a look at that because it is winter. And all we have to do is look outside on this coming Wednesday. I do believe we're going to be getting a little bit of that white stuff coming down. Or step outside, even on this morning, without a warm enough jacket, to know that it is not a day to head to the beach and dip your toes in the water. Winter always reminds me that everyone and everything needs some quiet time, some rest. God so often uses nature to teach and witness to our faith. All of creation, yes, even those pesky mosquitoes, are connected to in the Creator, and the love of God is revealed in all that God has infused with life. So I don't think it should be any surprise to any of us that images of trees and shrubs and water and earth appear throughout our scriptures. These images are of God and God's relationship with each one of us. So let's just take a quick ponder for a few minutes at Jeremiah this morning. The prophet compares a shrub in the desert to a tree by the water. Those who rely on the flesh and whose hearts are turned away from God are cursed with a life that resembles the shrub. No way to grow or thrive alone in a parched wilderness. But the opposite. Those who trust in the Lord are blessed like the tree, green and sending its roots out deep into the earth. But what about when it isn't? What about the moments, the months, the years when our trust in God doesn't feel fruitful, but rather leaves us feeling empty and barren, like that desert shrub? Are we just not trusting in God enough? Well, now let's take a look at the Gospel of Luke, where we find Jesus preaching on the plain rather than on the mountaintop in Matthew. But that's a discussion for a Bible study. I love the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus is on the plain, on the level plain with the people, rather than up on that mountaintop. We hear his words for whatever the reality of the people would be at that time. People, any reality that you and I might be facing, that the people were facing, be it poverty or hunger or weeping or, yes, even hatred. Jesus offers a promise that is to come. There is no indication in the gospel that the present painful reality is just magically lifted away, even for those in Jesus' presence. The promised gifts of life and joy will come, but maybe not today. It is this future that Jeremiah paints for us too. The green, fruity, bearing tree shall be our hope and our future. That tree shall not fear when the heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green, even in darkness and drought, the tree shall grow. Even when everything around it tries to take away life, the tree shall not die. In the Lord's care, the tree will live. The future is a difficult place to put our trust. Whether it is this transition time that you are facing, that we are facing here at St. Matthew's, preparing for a new pastor, or whether it's a time of stress in our own lives, the future is a difficult place. My touchstone biblical passage is also from Jeremiah. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you hope and a future and not to harm you. If the future is a difficult place to put our trust, so is the present. And the past, well, the past just gives us multiple reasons not to trust. These words from Jesus and Jeremiah remind us that it is not the future or the present that we trust in. It is God. It is the God we know in the crucified Jesus Christ, in whom we put our trust. We don't trust in ourselves. We trust in God that we know through our crucified and risen Christ, who blesses us through our troubled present and leads us to the other side, to a future of hope. In our despair, we hope also often in that phrase, shall be, promised by a God who holds the past, the present, and the future. A God who knows intimately the poor and the hungry and the weeping, the hated, the excluded, the defamed. A God who keeps promises and who has so much more in store for us than the chronic afflictions or disappointments or pastoral transitions or fears that we presently bear. Yet the promised future also has another side that we can't ignore. At the end of the Sermon on the Plain, Jesus continues to speak of future, but this time a future of woe for those who are rich, who are full, who are laughing now. Their promised future shall be filled with sorrow and emptiness. It's an uncomfortable promise. In Jeremiah, those whose hearts turn away from the Lord shall be like a shrub in the desert, parched and alone. The other side of the blessing is the curse. The other side of the promised hope is the reality of lived suffering and despair. For the reality of life is that you and I will inevitably live in both conditions. Trusting in God and trusting in ourselves. We will be hungry and full. We will weep and we will laugh. We will hate and we will love. And Jesus reminds us here that there is always another side to what we experience. When we are full, we can be sure that one day we'll be empty, and that the only true fullness that endures is from God. When we are weeping, we can be sure that one day we will laugh and rejoice, and our joy is from God. For every part of life, there is another angle, ensuring that we do not forget God's presence and power that is infused in everything we do and through everything we live. And this is where Stephen Ministry can have a role in your life. I've been a Stephen Minister leader for 34 years. We began a program at my very first congregation, Good Shepherd Lutheran, in Southampton, Pennsylvania. And when I transferred from Temple Lutheran in Pensauken, where I had served for 10 years, at retirement, Pastor Ingrid asked me what I'd like to do to get involved with the congregation. She didn't even give me a chance to breathe or enjoy a day of retirement. I'm teasing. And she said, I know that you've been involved with Stephen Ministry for years and years. Would you be interested in doing it here at St. Matt's? And I said, yes, that would be wonderful. So, Stephen Ministers are with you on the plains of life. Stephen Ministers walk with you in those desert places of life. Stephen Ministers help you to grow and thrive in those lonely places in life. God in Jesus Christ is the cure giver. We are not the cure giver. And the Stephen Ministers help you to connect with Jesus. Jesus came down to be with the people and stood on that very level place. A Stephen Minister will come with you and stand on that same level place with you. Jesus came down and walked on that level place. Why? So that we might walk and stand with one another on those level places. Stephen Ministers can be a gift from God for you when you are going through those desert places of life. We're going to have a program in the adult forum following worship today. I invite you to come to learn. We're going to be talking about what we do for continuing education, to continue to learn after the 26 sessions of training that each Stephen Minister goes through. 26 sessions of 2.5 hours each is what every Stephen Minister goes through to become a Stephen Minister. But it doesn't stop there. Just like when we are confirmed, our education doesn't stop there. We continue to come and learn about Jesus and grow in our faith. So too do the Stephen Ministers. So I invite you to come. come and hear what it's all about. So I go back to where I started, Facebook. Not that that's necessarily a good place to start. They have pictures of how many days till spring. Life isn't quite that simple. We can't predict how many days till we call a new pastor. We can't predict how many days one might be going through a desert place in life. But with Jesus walking with us on the plane and a Stephen minister on the journey with you, spring will come again. Amen.